Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Mbuga. This evening, we'll be talking about press freedom in Africa. And with us tonight is my colleague, Patrick Day of VOM. And Patrick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Douglas.
You're welcome. And joining us from Dallas, Texas, is Hussein Kiflo. Kiflo is an Ethiopian treasurer and political commentator. He is a research assistant at the Southern Methodist University. Welcome to the show once again, Kiflo.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome. Gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight is the press freedom. We were looking at the previous year, 2015. And as things stand, 58 journalists are behind bars for doing their job across Africa, with the authoritarian Egyptian administration of President Fatah al-Sisi leading the pack as the worst jailer of journalists. Of course, as usual, Egypt, Eritrea, and Ethiopia are Africa's leading jailers of journalists, according to a new report by the Committee to Protect Journalists, which has just come out. Gentlemen, Patrick,
yes.
That's not a very good picture for the way we, some of us do our jobs, if you are working in Africa.
Well, yeah, journalists all over the world really face in dictatorial regions face very tough times, but particularly in Africa, governments try to muzzle the journalists because they're afraid of what journalists find.
Mm.
You know, when people are informed, you know, people get to know what is happening. And a lot of these leaders want to lead people blindly, so they are very afraid of what journalists can do to disseminate information that they don't want out there.
Mm.
So they'll do everything to recently in Kenya, although there has been a long fight about freedom of space and journalism, we saw a minister of interior ordering for some journalists to be prosecuted for simply, doing their research and finding out corruption within the government.
Mm.
Can you imagine such a thing?
Yes, Kifulu, your general observation about the environment of in Africa, but as far as reporting is concerned.
It's not good, because it directly relates with governance, and the governance in Africa is bad. Mostly it's dictatorship. Most of the rulers in sub-Saharan Africa are governing their people without the consent of the governed Africans, their people. And so in order to avoid any kind of criticism on their style of governance, they tend to repress the press.
Mm.
So generally, it's not good.
I see. Still talking, let's go now to, apart from Egypt for obvious reasons, Horn of Africa countries, Eritrea and Ethiopia, are the next worst offenders, holding 27 journalists between them, 17 in Eritrea, and 10 in Ethiopia, although the Ethiopian is a bit tricky because they released some few journalists before President Obama's visit to Addis Ababa, and then but those journalists and bloggers actually they still face travel restrictions.
Yes, they have travel. May I jump in, Douglas?
Yes, go ahead, Kiflo.
They have travel restrictions. Not only travel restrictions. These young bloggers. Who had been released before Obama's visit, they can't even express themselves. They no longer express themselves on social media without risking their lives once again.
Mm.
So they have many restrictions. So what happened is they were transferred from the highly congested smaller prison to the biggest prison where Ethiopians in general are stifled and repressed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that the whole country is a prison. You can't express yourself freely, even between friends, social. So That's what happened. Yeah, when it comes to my own country, Ethiopia, the press freedom in my own country, Ethiopia, you know, what makes it so tragic is that even by African standards, it's the worst. And it's so ironical that Ethiopia is the seat of African Union. It has been, you know, it has long history, and most other African countries, you know, their state formation came long after, you know, Ethiopia. Ethiopia has been independent for a long time. It should have been, Ethiopia should have been, you know, a good example for other African countries. And yet what's happening in Ethiopia is that, you know, in our neighbor Kenya, for instance, if a journalist is persecuted, at least the judiciary has some kind of, has some semblance of independence, and he may get bail. The same is true in Uganda. In the case of Ethiopia, the judiciary is also under the total control of the regime. So once journalists, once bloggers are accused of something by the regime, they would be locked up for a long, long time. They would be tortured. And so unless a miracle like Obama's visit happened, you know, the likelihood of their being released within a short period of time is hopeless.
Yeah, Patrick? But,
and even with the Obama visit, that was just window dressing for the time. That does not stop them from doing what they're doing continuously. And it has become very, you know, it's crazy because this leaders, especially dictatorial leaders, and even countries that seem to have gone a little bit beyond that. For example, Kenya. Yes, journalists are still under pressure all the time, not to report certain things. And the basis of it is that these governments have no proper policy that are geared towards bettering the people of the country, the countries that they rule. They lack leadership. They lack long-term policies that will make the country better. And because they're mostly dictators, they do not want anything being said against them. Therefore, they want to keep their people in darkness all the time. That's why they keep fighting journalists in all ways, whether through jailing these journalists. And then, of course, a place like Ethiopia, unfortunately, you know, the judiciary also plays a part of it because the judiciary is not independent. And all this becomes, you know, just very, very, very backward thinking for the African leadership.
Kifula, talking of Ethiopia, which of course alongside Eritrea are ranked second and third, the government seems to have managed to keep the independent media completely off the table.
Yes, it's true. You know, when you compare Ethiopia, at least the Eritrean regime is not hypocritical. It has never claimed that it's democratic, so you don't expect much from that kind of regime. But when it comes to Ethiopia, these people, they still unashamedly claim that they are democratic, that they work everything by the constitution, but which is not the case. So they even try to control independent media. Recently, you know, 15 million people are on the brink of starvation. They want aid money, as usual, but at the same time, they don't want even foreign journalists through whom they want to beg, they want to secure their aid money. They don't want them to tell it like it is, to report it as famine. Mm. And they want them to use euphemism, you know, to downplay the crisis. So it is to that extent this regime wants to control, wants to repress, you know, freedom of expression.
Yes, Patrick, some of them are arrested and are jailed, but in some other countries, there are subtle ways of controlling journalists still.
Oh, yes. And freedom of information, there are very subtle ways. For example, I'll give you an example in Kenya where you know, they, where they are migrating from, you know, to the digital TV. And what they did was the government comes up with this plot where only two companies are given the go-ahead or granted the permit to carry content. Now, one of the companies is a Chinese-based company, and we all know about China's media, okay? And the other company, the government has 60% ownership. So, in essence, if these are the only two channels to distribute content, in essence, free media can be curtailed in certain ways, because if the government deems that certain reporting is not going to be favorable to it, they can simply say we are not carrying that content. Mm. And therefore, that's a very subtle way that you know, they're chipping at the independence and the free flow of information. And we see that happening all the time. Laws are being passed where they're saying that, if a journalist reports something that they have no proof of, they could be jailed, which in essence puts fear in the journalist, and therefore they cannot, you know, report something even as they investigate. You have to prove, they're coming up with a law that you have to prove that what you're saying, you know, you have to disclose who gave you that information.
I see.
Well,
okay, let's take a short break right now, but we'll be back again to continue our discussion of press freedom in Africa.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. And on Fridays, you can also hear my 30-minute show at 17:30 UTC. On the internet, like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Check voaafrica.com for the addresses and enjoy the show.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is press freedom in Africa. And our panelists are my colleague, Patrick Deya of VOA, and Hussein Kiflu, social and political commentator and a research associate at the Southern Methodist University, and your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. Kiflu, Patrick sort of alluded to another crucial issue in that the media in Africa that is not controlled by the government, and where the government may not appear to be cracking down so hard, there is an element of corporate media that is controlled by those mega corporations who are in the pockets of those governments, or vice versa, and they're doing a lot of damage, a lot of harm.
Yeah, it's true. That is a new trickery that most African countries are using. You know, in the case of Ethiopia, it's so blatant. We don't have that much independent electronic media. In fact, I can say that we have none, especially in the case of television. Television is still state-owned. When it comes to radio, there are a couple of FM stations, and these FM stations. One is it's a public knowledge. It's publicly, affiliated with the government. Mm. In fact, the one who runs that show, who runs the FM station, and who owns it, used to be a journalist in the Voice of America Amharic service, mm. and she's in openly affiliated with the government. Mm. So that is the kind of medias we have. And there are others, print medias, and now they're also allowed to have some kind of electronic medias. Even these medias, you know, the advertisement they are given, if they don't cooperate, if they don't kowtow with the regime's policy, you know, they will not be given advertisements, commercials. So since that's the only way that they survive, so they have no choice. But mostly, in the case of Ethiopia, they are blatantly affiliated with the ruling party. Mm. So it's not even they don't even pretend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Patrick, it's true. But in a country like Kenya and Uganda, where most African countries, actually, government is big business for the media because they give them adverts. And then those even who have sort of liberalized their airs and given out private FM stations, those FM stations are owned by cronies of the government or government ministers.
Yeah, exactly. In Kenya, the constitution allows for government ministers and government officials to own businesses. And part of those businesses are media. So you find that a government official owns the media. And therefore, they can dictate what is reported and what is not reported. If it's something that seems to be a sensitive issue to the government, it is not reported or very, very scantily reported without much detail in it. So these are ways. And another thing is just denying frequencies to people that are not deemed to be or to have the government interest at heart. So those are subtle ways that they control the media. Mm-hmm. There are certain areas that don't have as much allocation of the frequencies, and therefore information becomes limited in a very strategic manner. And the other thing they keep doing is those that are bloggers and whatnot are harassed every day, hauled into court every time, knowing very well that that kind of put some fear in them. So it's a very subtle, but the consistent way of telling them we do not want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Kifulu, what about the role of the social media? It at least in some countries it has complemented to the people. I think we may have lost. Kifulu is back. I think we may have lost Kifulu over there. Patrick, the issue of social media in some countries, it has complemented and helped in hold on a second.
Hello?
Hello?
My line was disconnected.
Okay, now that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Now Kifulu, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was saying the issue of social media may have complemented in trying to mitigate the dangers of practicing journalists on the continent.
Social media, it has a big impact in repressive countries like Ethiopia. Of course, it has positive side, negative side. But the way I see it, in a country like Ethiopia, I think the positive side outweighs the negative because the government is so repressive. It has become the only means of getting and passing information to the Ethiopian public, which has been kept in dark. The regime is so afraid of social media, and currently, as you know, there is a protest, an Oromo protest, is going on due to the regime's insatiable appetite for land. So they want to repress, you know, information concerning this protest. Yet people are exchanging information on social media, especially on Facebook. Mm. And the government is talking about, you know, shutting down Facebook. I don't know whether it's capable of doing that or not.
Mm.
But the very fact that it's talking about it shows you to what extent this regime is repressive.
Mm. Patrick, your comment on social media's role.
In Kenya, specifically, what they do is just constant harassing of people in social media. I don't know whether they can succeed in shutting it down. I'm not sure about that. But the constant harassment, they are hauled into court every time. They're being questioned. They're followed by police all the time. These are ways of just, you know, discourages other that may come up. And if you're constantly being monitored and constantly being harassed, you really, as a journalist, have to have a very strong personality and persistence to keep on.
Mm.
And the hope is, and we've seen cases where they're not just harassed, they're actually taken in and they try to prosecute it.
Mm.
The good thing, the good part of it is that the judiciary is becoming more independent.
Mm.
And of course, again, other reporting about these people being harassed all the time kind of discourages that a little bit.
Yeah.
We saw after the minister, the interior minister, ordered that a journalist who had reported on some corruption be arrested because he needed this journalist to disclose who gave him the information. There was an uproar, and because of that, he had to reverse his orders.
Mm-hmm.
Under where in the Constitution? The Constitution allows for freedom of information, so these are things that I'm not sure. With the social media, it's going to be difficult because you're getting people who are independent. They're not necessarily beholden to any particular entity.
Mm-hmm.
They are an entity unto themselves. So that is going to be a little bit difficult to do.
Kifulu, and there's this other dangerous element where some governments, if they're unhappy with the journalists, they link them to terrorism. Like the case of Iskander Nega, the Ethiopian who was jailed, this online columnist who was jailed, who is serving 18-year term. And this is a dangerous situation.
Yes, that has become a trend now. You know, Iskander Nega is one of the prominent journalists. He's a prisoner of conscience, and it has become quite a trend for this regime to falsely accuse journalists, bloggers, people who are courageous enough to express themselves freely, to criticize the excesses of the regime. They are being accused of terrorism falsely.
Mm.
So and also it uses this terrorism for scaremongering, and also to ingratiate itself with its Western backers, to some extent, even though its Western backers and the entire international community didn't accept that Iskander Nega and other journalists are terrorists, they nevertheless, turn a blind eye to the excess of this government because of their interest in Somalia, in the so-called, war on terror.
Mm.
So, yes, this regime is really profiting out of this fear of terrorism.
Yes. Patrick, as we conclude, how do you see things improving or maybe not improving at all?
I think things will improve so long as there's persistence and consistency in calling this government out. So long as and I think it is very possible that because the new media is so pervasive now, it can be on different platforms.
I see.
It becomes very difficult for the government to monitor all these platforms. Slowly, I believe, I have the confidence that it's going to be completely unbearable for the government, and they cannot do that, because there are going to be individuals out there who are going to be persistent to use the new media.
I see. Kifulu, last word. How do you see the thing? Do you see things improving or in the near future?
Yes and no. On the side of the public, you know, on the side of journalists, independent journalists, and citizen journalists, people are becoming courageous, and social media is giving them a lot of opportunities. My friend there said, they are an entity unto themselves. They are not beholden to anyone, so they can express themselves freely. But on the side of our respective governments, there is no sign of improvement. The ones even who are ostensibly democratic, they want to control totally. So it is us, the people, who should improve these things.
I see. Well, I hope everybody knows that information is a very key commodity, so no wonder some governments don't want that information freely accessed by people. And that ends today's edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague Patrick Deyam, and Hussein Kifulu, an Ethiopian social and political commentator. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our producer was Jackson Mvunganyi, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. And remember, you can hear our roundtable on the internet. You just have to go to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on programs, and then you can listen to the whole program again. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thank you very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington.
On Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.